Welcome back to the Kennedy Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Allison, and today I'm excited to share with you a conversation that I had with author Oline Eaton. She has written a book called Finding Jackie, and I'm going to read the description about the book. It's very good, by the way. Highly recommend. It says, in Finding Jackie, Oline Eaton resurrects the Jackie Kennedy Onassis who has been culturally erased, who we need now more than ever. Not the first lady who was a paragon of femininity, fashion, American wifeliness, and motherhood, but rather the kaleidoscopic Jackie who emerged after the murder of her husband changed her world and ours. Here is the story of Jackie's reinvention into an adventurer, a wanderer, a woman, and an idea in whom many Americans and people around the globe have deeply, fiercely wanted to believe. So I hope you enjoy our conversation. Also, this was recorded last week, so I talk about pre-ordering the book, and actually the book released today. So you can go order the book by clicking the direct link in the description of this episode. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Oline. Oline, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you. Before we get started, though, do you mind to please tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yes. So I currently live in Washington, D.C. with my two silly cats, Claude and Marcel. I'm originally from the South. I was born in Memphis and we moved around a lot when I was a kid, went to undergrad in Mississippi, grad school in Chicago, and then got my PhD in London. So I've been around a bit. And I'm super excited to talk about this book. I've been working on it since I was like 22. So it's very exciting that it's coming out at long last.
I'm so excited about it too. It's excellent. So let's talk about it. How did your interest in Jackie begin?
And it sounds very mystical, but I was like 12 when she died. And I don't know if you or anyone listening to this remembers Channel One, which was a weird 12-minute news program that played in public schools around the US. And they did, Anderson Cooper actually originally was on Channel One.
That's where amazing.
He got his start. I know. And so he had a special on Jackie's death, I think. And I was transfixed by it and wanted to know more. And someone had turned the volume off that day. So it was all these silent images and things. And so I just started reading about her. And I went home and wrote in my journal that I couldn't stop thinking about her and Richard Nixon. I had no idea I would spend like 30 years thinking about Jackie and Richard Nixon. But here we are. So it just became kind of a hobby. Like a friend, my family, we're big readers. We are big collectors and stuff. And I was just, I think, at the right age for her story to stick out with me. And there were these glaring gaps in it that I wanted to know more about as well.
That's fantastic. I love that. So I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your findings about Jackie's public persona versus how she was when she was out of public view.
So I was very, a lot, as I'm sure you know, so many of the archives have not been processed to the Kennedy Library. Mm-hmm. I was very lucky that a number of things were opened while I was doing this. So like the Nancy Tuckerman papers, the Mary Borelli Gallagher papers had already been opened. But the Tuckerman papers in particular had some, just a lot of memos and things from the 70s and the late 60s, so post JFK years. And that was extremely helpful in kind of giving insight into how she, like some public statements that weren't released about how she didn't want to be portrayed as just spending all the money and stuff, that she wanted mm-hmm. less money focused stories. Just some of those inter office memos and stuff about the press was really, really, really interesting to read. But then also just my research process was to look through the newspapers day by day by day, Googling every single version of her name that was available. And I think doing that in that way also enabled me to see certain dynamics that might not have been visible otherwise. So for example, when the Mary Borelli Gallagher book comes out in 1969, recognizing that there was a leak of Jackie's White House office memos and stuff, and that actually probably came from Mary Thayer Van Rensselaer because she had access to those documents. And so just kind of Nancy drawing the story together, essentially, which was a lot of fun. But I think it does give us a lot more insight into, not that she was manipulating the press, just trying to navigate living her life in the full glare of the press, and also dealing with the tension of being portrayed in ways that weren't true to who she was.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are a few interesting details that you uncovered about her marriages with JFK and with Aristotle Onassis?
Honestly, the marriage to JFK remains an incredible mystery to me. I think that's the part that interested me the least, because I just don't really understand that. Never will, obviously. I think the marriage to Onassis is really interesting to think, and then but all of the really any relationships that anybody has are really interesting mm-hmm. to think about. Because hers, especially with Onassis, because of the trauma of her husband's murder and her brother-in-law's murder. And I don't see that entirely as a trauma response. I think she was probably going to marry him before Robert Kennedy's death. But the whole book is an effort to kind of put grief back into the story in a way that I don't think it's really been in the previous biographies. And with our better understanding of trauma and how trauma works, I think that does give a much clearer picture of how difficult her life was at times and how that affected her subsequent relationships as well. And I think that does surface in the relationship with JFK as well, the early financial instability when she was younger and all of that is clearly at play in that first marriage too.
So one of the things that you highlight on and that I love so much is how Jackie's so brilliant and witty and deep, and the world doesn't typically celebrate this about her because they typically only, admire her for her style. So what are your favorite parts of Jackie's personality that you discovered through this project?
The thing that immediately pops to mind when you ask that is there's a line in a letter she wrote to Jack Kennedy about her memo when she was in the White House about how they'd opened all these new archaeological sites in Egypt and Sudan. And if she were a man, she would love to go there. And that guts me. I gutted me when I found it in the archive. It continues to gut me of like how much this person who spent the whole rest of their life going to ruins and archaeological sites and seeing things and who loved art and culture and all this stuff. And there she is in the White House and, you know, arguably the most powerful woman in America as the first lady and is like, oh, if I were a man, I would go do this. And doesn't ever see that as an option for herself. So I think kind of thinking about that and the way that books were such an important part of her life. And so these little, especially like little tidbits that I found in the archives, which kind of just reinforced things that were already present, the existing biographies, but we didn't have her own words testifying to them. I think those things about travel and reading and art and culture and beauty, it's easy to say someone just loves shopping and I love shopping as well. But to think about the deeper drives that are motivating that, and also that they love surrounding themselves with beautiful things and seeing new stuff and experiencing new things. I felt that was really interesting to dig into more.
Yeah, I did too. It's wonderful. So you have a lot of fun stories that I had never read before. So what is some of your favorite stories, or what is your actually favorite story about Jackie's life that you learned from your research for this book?
The thing about the potato field, I don't know why. I think it's because when you read a lot about someone for years and years and years, and then you find something that you've just never heard of, and it's that story about her being in Poland at her brother-in-law's brother's funeral, and this crowd of people just coming at her and as fans and chasing her away from the funeral into a potato field. And across it, and her running to get away from them. And this person driving a streetcar up on a hill, stopping and letting her in and taking her to the police. That it was a pretty big story at the time. And it really wasn't, I think when I went back and looked, it was in one of the like 70 paperback biographies, maybe briefly mentioned, but it's striking partly because it's just almost unimaginably wild. But it's also very scary. And it seems to have frightened her a lot because Nancy Tuckerman, her spokesperson, came out and said, you know, this is the most frightened she's ever been in her life, which that's a pretty big statement. And I think it did result in her not going to the opening of the Kennedy Center as well, because this had happened right before that. That's one that really sticks out as quite just like an astounding gap. And I think there are a few others, like just I was not aware of the number of threats that were made against her, the bomb threats, and like when they went to Belfast, she went to Belfast with Ari, Onassis being, you know, held at Jacker's gunpoint when he was trying to negotiate with some people who had hijacked an Olympic Airways plane. Just the level of day-to-day violence throughout the whole story, I think, had really been drained from it in a lot of the accounts, and putting that back in really kind of reestablishes just what a significant thing it is that she was able to live her life and stay sane, as she said in a conversation with Steven Spender. She said that was her greatest accomplishment. And I think this really does demonstrate that a bit more clearly than we've had in the past.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How do you feel that Jackie changed both publicly to the public, but then also privately when going from not the men, but her as a person from Kennedy to Onassis?
I guess one thing that struck me was just the removal of financial insecurity, which if anyone, yeah. I certainly, when I was in grad school, I was always stressed about money, and it, you know, it's that anxiety that sticks with you afterwards for sure. But that sense of her being beholden to the Kennedys while she was a widow and them not necessarily taking very good care of the widows of their sons, and suddenly having that freedom to not have to worry about that in terms of buying stuff, yeah, but also security, feeling more secure and feeling taken care of and stuff. That's, I think, a big shift.
Absolutely.
That seems really, really important.
Yeah. And of course, with that, I even think about not just the financial security for her at that point, but also for her children to feel safe mm-hmm. and secure. And, you know, that was him having that island was a huge plus for her. So you yeah. can kind of mm-hmm. sympathize and understand why she would want to make that shift for sure.
Yeah. Which is not to say that it entirely panned out okay with the safety and stuff. Like there was a kidnapping plot against JFK Jr. in the 1973.
Right.
Yeah. So there were all these constant threats, but at least for a moment,
right.
it seems, and certainly from the outside, it looks like it was very freeing for a time.
Absolutely. What do you hope that your readers will take away from reading this book?
I think my number one goal is I want people out there to read this and find stories within it that because I left a lot of breadcrumbs in it that I did not follow up on and stuff, and culturally and with Jackie as well, just things I don't think I'm the writer to do, or they didn't quite fit with my book and the story that was developing. And so I really do hope that there will be other Jackie people who decide, oh, much like I did, of seeing parts of the story that were left out or gaps, there are things that were being actively erased, and that they'll read this book and it'll excite them, and maybe 10, 20, 2 years, however long, that it will somehow carry her story forward and lead to new pieces of her story coming out and being written and discovered and imagined.
That is wonderful. Guys, you can pre-order Finding Jackie by clicking the direct link to purchase in the description of this episode, and it releases so soon on January 31st, which is very exciting. I highly recommend it. O-Line, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, make sure you are subscribed so you don't miss when new episodes are available. Rate the podcast 5 stars and write a positive written review on Apple Podcasts, because that would mean so much to me and it helps the podcast. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Come on and vote for Kennedy. Vote for Kennedy. Keep America strong. Kennedy, he just keeps rolling up. Kennedy, he just keeps rolling up.
Welcome to Anthology of Heroes, the podcast that explores the most pivotal moments of history through the eyes of those who lived it. In this podcast, we don't spend our time recounting facts and dates. Instead, we follow in the footsteps of national heroes, kings, or ordinary people who lived and breathed the moments that shaped our world. We're not hemmed in by eras, borders, or religions. Instead, we seek out the tales of those who defied the odds and fought passionately for their beliefs. Whether they're right or wrong is up to you to decide. From Vercingetorix's doomed rebellion against Rome, to Osceola's unshakable war against the USA, all the way up to the inspiring Sobibor concentration camp uprising in World War II, each episode is an immersive listening experience, blending music and sound effects to really draw you into the story. Our episodes go for about 45 minutes, making them perfect for your commute, and are crafted using a wealth of historical sources, which I list on our website if you want to learn more. I'm the host, Elliot Gates, and I'm thrilled to have you joining me as we uncover history's hidden gems and illuminate the faded pages of our past. Look out for the Anthology of Heroes podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, or anywhere else you get your podcasts from.